Can I request everyone to come closer to the front, inshallah? All of the youngsters at the back, inshallah, come forward, come closer to the front. Inshallah, everyone come forward. Everyone come forward, inshallah, so we can start the program. There's still a lot of people sitting right at the back. Inshallah, if we all come closer to the front, then we can start the program. See all the young boys sitting against the wall, Musa and Yusuf. Gee, come closer, everyone. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد ما شاء الله it's very nice to see all the young faces in the masjid on this occasion Alhamdulillah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us all the ability and the opportunity to present ourselves in the masjid. So inshallah, today's program is going to be about Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam and the beliefs that we should be having about Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. So inshallah, without any further ado, we'd like to start the program with some tilawa of the Qur'an, recitation of the Qur'an. I'd like to call Hafiz Abu Bakr to come forward inshallah and bless us with some recitation of the Qur'an. Bless the gathering with some recitation of the Qur'an inshallah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أهوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجحر ويخفى وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى
صدق الله العظيم.
جزاك الله خيرا to Hafiz Abu Bakr for the recitation of the Quran. Inshallah, all those who are still sitting at the back, inshallah, if you can come forward, inshallah, nothing to be shy about, inshallah. The closer we sit to the front, inshallah, the better. The Sahaba, when they would sit in the gathering of Rasulullah, they would sit very, very closely. And the narrations mention, كَأَنَّهُ عَلَى رُؤُسِهِمْ الطُّيُورِ that it was as if birds would be sitting on the heads of the Sahaba, meaning that's how close, compact they would sit together and how calmly they would sit. So inshallah we'll... Inshallah, we'll make a start on the main topic, inshallah, for today. So, alhamdulillah, as we all know, it's December, and in December, because we live in England, a Western country, so we have a majority of the people of the country, they adhere to Christianity. And in Christianity, they celebrate Christmas in this particular month, in this particular season. And especially for my young friends who go to primary schools, secondary schools, we know that we learn about different things about Christianity, about the Prophet Isa alayhi salam, who's known as the Prophet Jesus. We learn many different things in our schools. So it's very important that we also learn what Islam says about this. Because what Islam says about the Prophet Isa alayhi salam is the most important thing to us. Because this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to believe about Isa alayhi salam. Having the wrong beliefs about the Prophet Isa alayhi salam can lead a person out of the fold of Islam. Having the wrong beliefs about the Prophet Isa alayhi salam could lead us out of the fold of Islam. That's why it's very important that we attend talks or we study and we learn about what does Islam say is the correct thing about Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, the correct beliefs about Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. So inshallah we'll make a start. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا محمد خاتم النبيين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كلامه المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وَإِذْ كَفَفْتُ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ عَنْكَ إِذْ جِئْتَهُمْ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ فَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْهُمْ إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا سِحْرٌ مُبِينٌ وقال رسول الله وقال الله سبحانه وتعالى في مقام آخر وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ وَقَفَّيْنَا مِنْ بَعْدِهِ بِالرُّسُلِ وآتينا عيسى بن مريم البينات وأيدناه بروح القدس أفكلما جاءكم رسول بما لا تهوى أنفسكم استكبرتم ففريقا كذبتم وفريقا تقتلون وقالوا قلوبنا غلف بل لعنهم الله بكفرهم فقليلا ما يؤمنون صدق الله العظيم الحمد لله my dear respected brothers, elders and friends Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through his kindness, through his affection through his love, has never left mankind alone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants the best for mankind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks after our interests. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us and placed us inside of this dunya for a purpose. And Allah ta'ala did not just say, oh, you know what, human beings, you go into the world and you just need to figure out what you have to do. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent people to guide us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent books with guidance so we can follow the teachings of the prophets who Allah ta'ala sent and of the books which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent. So starting from Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam all the way down till Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the final messenger that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent, Allah ta'ala sent these messengers so that humanity could be guided. So that humanity could know what to do and what not to do. How to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how to stay away from the things which will bring the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like Mufti Taqi Sahib Uthmani hafizahullah, he mentions that there are different ways of acquiring knowledge. That a person can acquire knowledge through different ways. One of the ways through which a person acquires knowledge is through the five senses. Al-Hawasul Khamsa, the five senses which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Through our seeing, our sight, our hearing, our taste, our touch, and what's the last one? Our smell. These are the five senses that every single human being has, and through them we can acquire knowledge. And the early human beings, Obviously, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala educated Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. Allah ta'ala mentions, وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. Allah ta'ala taught Adam alayhi salam the names of everything. Some scholars have mentioned everything that will ever exist in the world, Allah ta'ala already told, informed this to Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam knew about all of this, everything that will ever exist. The angels didn't even have the knowledge that Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam had. But there were things that human beings had to experiment and had to discover different things. So the first source through which a person gains knowledge is the five senses. So a person experiments with their five senses. For example, you see a fire. You see it and you can see how it looks, the flames. If you go near it, you can feel it, that it's very hot. If you put some food item upon it, you can see what's happening to that food item, that it burns it. If you put your hands near it, it burns it. Similarly, anything else that we have around us, the raw materials that we have around us, a person uses their five senses to try and figure out how they can utilize them and what benefit they can take from them. And the second source of knowledge that we have is our aqal, our intellect. That once, like I mentioned the example, a person I've realized by touching the fire that the fire is very hot, it burns. So now I think, you know what, if I place a food item on top of that fire, it will cook that food item and I can eat it. So a person is coming to that deduction or to that conclusion through their intellect and the aqal. So this is the second medium, the second source through which a person acquires knowledge. First is the five senses, and the second is a person's aqal and intellect. Now, most knowledge that we have in terms of our worldly life, or all the knowledge that we have, or let's say most of the knowledge that we have about our worldly life, a person can acquire through the five senses and through the use of their aqal and intellect. Most of the knowledge that we have. That's why all the scientists we have, the physicists, and all of the different, mashallah, very clever, intelligent people who have come throughout history telling people how to build rockets and how to build trains and how to build, I don't know, flying hot air balloons and all of these different things. It's people who've experimented, who've used their five senses, who've used their aqal, and who have gone off the research of other people who have used their five senses and aqal. And that's why we have all of the technology that we have in front of us today. But there is one aspect of knowledge that a person cannot acquire just on the basis or just by using their five senses and just by using their intellect and aqal. And this is the knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person can acquire the basics of it, just the basic beliefs, but beyond that, for example, Allah ta'ala has created all of these items upon the earth, all of these animals that you can eat. Which of those animals is it permissible to eat? Which of them is it not permissible to eat? Allah ta'ala wants me to live my life. What are the actions that if I do them, Allah will be happy? And what are the actions that if I do them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be displeased with me? A person cannot just figure that out through their intellect. A person can use their intellect and get to the conclusion that Allah exists. And we see that Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam in the Quran, when Allah ta'ala talks about Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam came to the conclusion that Allah exists using his aqal and intellect. That he saw the sun, he saw the moon, he saw the stars, that his people, in the time of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, there was a great interest in astronomy. People were very much into astronomy, looking at stars and the movement of the stars and the sun and the moon. So people were very much into this, to the extent that some people did so much ghulu and did so much extremism in this, that they started to even worship these things, the stars and the moon and the sun. So Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam focused on these things, and he tried using his intellect to understand, can this really be a creator? Can this star or the moon or the sun, can it actually have created me? Could it have actually created me? So he used his aqal, his intellect, and he came to the conclusion that, you know what, it's not possible. Because all of these things, they are only there in the sky for a certain amount of time, and then they disappear. And they disappear. Allah Ta'ala mentioned this very beautifully in the Quran, how Ibrahim alayhi salam sat and he used his intellect. And he said, you know what, I cannot believe in something which disappears. Because my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always be there. He cannot disappear. Allah always has to remain. And that's one of the important beliefs that we have about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always was here, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always will remain. Al-awwalu wal-akhir. Allah ta'ala is the first, Allah ta'ala is the last. Meaning Allah was here before everything else, Allah will be here after everything else. Similarly, one of our beliefs about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that He is qadeem. Again, this is the same thing, that Allah is pre-eternal. Before Allah created the universe and Allah created human beings and Allah created, you know, the stars and the moon and the sun and everything, Allah existed. And after Allah has created everything, then Allah will destroy it all. Before the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala will give the command to the angel Israfil alayhi salam. He will blow on the sur, and then everything will be destroyed. He will blow on the trumpet, everything on the horn, and everything will be destroyed. And then Allah will still remain. And then after that, Allah will give everyone life, and then people will live for eternity, and Allah will always remain. This is one of our beliefs, about one of the fundamental beliefs about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to have this belief that Allah always existed. There was never a time, there was never a blip in time where Allah ta'ala didn't exist. Allah always existed, forever. Now we struggle to understand that. How does something exist forever? Because our life and everything we see in the world has an expiration date, has an expiry date. Everything finishes. You buy a bottle of milk from the shop, it's going to expire. You buy even an item which still has 2, 3, 4 years of longevity, of date, but it still finishes. Everything we see around us, human beings have a lifespan and then they die. Science, as much as many scientists will reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they feel that this is the intelligent thing to do, whereas it's not. But no scientist can say, you know what, we've developed the cure, or we've developed the key for eternal life. No scientist can say this, because nobody has. And they will think it's impossible, because they have never seen an example of a person living forever. Everything finishes. So because we see things in bubbles, that everything has a starting date, everything has a finishing date. Similarly, the universe had a starting date, it will have a finishing date. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists outside all of this. Allah is the creator of time. Allah created time. Imagine, we see everything in time. Because we're locked into time. Yesterday, today, tomorrow, last year, next year, 10 years ago, 10 years in the future. We see everything locked into time. But Allah Ta'ala created time. Allah is not in need of time. And that's why on the day of Qiyamah, the Prophet ﷺ mentions that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will bring time in the form of a black ram. And it will be slaughtered, and Allah Ta'ala will say there is no more time today. Allah Ta'ala doesn't need to do this, but this is just an expression for Allah Ta'ala to show us that there is no more time. Don't worry about time anymore. Now wherever you are, if you're in Jannah, you're going to be there forever. If you're in Jahannam and you died as a kafir, Allah Ta'ala protect us, if you die as a disbeliever, you will be there forever. Eternity. Person cannot understand eternity. But we don't need to understand it in the world as well. Like I said, everything has a limit. Even the mind that Allah Ta'ala has given you and I. Every single one of us sitting here, our intelligence, our mind, how much you can think. If I said to someone, think of the best car that you can think of, or think of the best phone that you can think of, think of the most beautiful house that you can think of, we can only think to a certain extent. Beyond that, we can't think anymore, because our mind is limited. And that's why when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam describes Jannah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions the hadith Qudsi that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, أَعْدَدْتُ لِعِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحِينَ مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ, that I have prepared for my pious servants those things which no eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard of, meaning Jannah. And the blessings of Jannah are so amazing. No eye has ever seen anything like it in the world. No ear has ever heard of anything like it. And no mind, the thought of it has never come in anyone's mind. Meaning Allah knows exactly what kind of mind He's given us. And Allah knows very well that it's not possible for a human being to even imagine anything from Jannah. Meaning Allah's given us a limited mind. So if a person says, I've used my mind and I've really thought deeply about it, and I can't understand Allah, and I can't understand what Allah did before He created the world, and all of these things that shaitan wants a person to think about, so he can take them out of the fold of Islam, then a person needs to say to himself, well, your mind is very limited anyway. Your mind is limited. And Allah's ability to create starts where the furthest extent where a human being's mind can think is the beginning of what Allah can create. Everything in Jannah, even a fruit of Jannah, even the rivers of Jannah that Allah has described in the Quran, rivers of wine, rivers of milk, rivers of honey, all of these rivers a person cannot imagine. If a person just thinks of honey, can you imagine a river of honey? How much of a disaster that would be. If you had a river of honey here, what would happen? It'd all stick together. It'd probably, in the cold, it'd probably all become really sticky and hard, and it just looked like a disaster. It wouldn't look like anything nice. But imagine in Jannah, Allah Ta'ala is describing Jannah, rivers of honey which flow. So we can't imagine, by honey, what does Allah Ta'ala mean? What's the reality of the honey of Jannah? How will it look like? The wine of Jannah, the wine of the dunya, of the world, if a person drinks the alcohol, they become intoxicated. And it makes a person sometimes do some funny things and some silly things. But in Jannah, the alcohol will not have that effect. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will create wine which is beneficial for the person, which tastes amazing and which doesn't have any of the negative side effects. So this is Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, to remind us about Him and to tell, to inform us of Him, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala sent human beings as messengers. Because like I said, a person just by using their intellect and just by using their five senses will not know exactly what Allah wants from them. So for this, to fill this void, to fill this gap, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala sent angels. And the first angel that Allah Ta'ala sent was the Prophet Adam Alayhi Salam. The first angel that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala sent was the Prophet Adam alayhi salam. The first messenger that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala sent was the Prophet Adam alayhi salam. And the last messenger that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala sent was our Prophet Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There will be no more prophets after him. He is the final prophet. If anyone comes along now and says, and they claim prophethood, and they claim to be a prophet of Allah, we will say that that person is a liar. Because nobody can be a prophet of Allah after him. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us that there will be people who come after me, who claim prophethood, who say that we are prophets of Allah. They will be dajjaluna kazzabuna. They will be liars. Dajjal, this word dajjal in Arabic means a persistent liar, someone who lies all the time. This is dajjal. So even the scholars of hadith, sometimes they will mention about someone that this person is dajjal. You don't take hadith from him. It doesn't mean that he is the dajjal. It just means that this person has a habit of lying excessively. So we don't take hadith from him. So if a person, one is just to have a simple kind of be able to tell a normal lie. Children sometimes lie, and just because they're frightened of consequences, so they lie. Sometimes people lie just to get themselves out of trouble. But most people, you know, or any good person would not lie unless there was some kind of reason. In Islam, we're taught we should stay away from lying totally. Totally, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, when a person lies, then the angel which is with them, which is protecting them, goes 1 mile away from that person because of a foul, minnatni ma ja'abi, because of a foul odor, a bad smell which comes out of the mouth of that person, the angel goes 1 mile away from that person. And so many hadiths we have, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, people who tell the truth, this is a means of a person being happy and content, and lying leads to a person always being unsettled, restless, nervous, anxious, because you're worried, what if people find out that I've been lying? So a good person realizes that lying is not a good thing. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He sent these prophets, now remember, a prophet, for all of the prophets that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose, one of the conditions of the prophets is that they have to be truthful. They should not lie. They should not say anything which can count as a lie. Our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before he became a prophet, he was known as As-Sadiq, the truthful one. Everybody would call him As-Sadiq, the truthful one. And imagine, till the age of 40, he was not a prophet. Till the age of 40, everyone would say, this person is As-Sadiq, which means he can never tell a lie. And that's why when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with prophethood, the people who knew him very well said, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has never spoken a lie about normal things. Why would he turn around and give the biggest of lies about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's not possible. For someone to make up such a complicated kind of lie, this person has to have a habit of lying. They have to have a lying habit, that they're always lying, and then, you know, they go one step further, and then they make these very intricate, big lies. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never lies. The first thing that we are accusing him of lying here, and he's lying about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying he's a prophet of Allah, and he's mentioning all of these things, as lies, it's not possible, because only a person who has a habit of lying can do something like this. And that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the people that will come towards the day of judgment, there will be 30 of them, and they will be liars, and they will say that they are prophets of Allah, but they will be liars. They will bring you things that you have never ever heard of before. You know, your forefathers have ever heard of those things before, they will bring you those things, and they will say, you know, I brought you these things from Allah Ta'ala, so do not accept them, do not follow them. And in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you had people like Musaylama Kadhab, you had Aswad Al-Anazi, you had Tulayha, You had Saja. You had all of these different people who claimed to be prophets. And they said they were prophets of Allah. But the intelligent people realized straight away, you know what? This person is not a true prophet of Allah. And they would fabricate and they would say so many lies to try and convince people to believe in them. Anyway, so as I was mentioning, the first prophet was Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and the last prophet was our prophet Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And before our prophet Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the last prophet to come upon the earth, before him was Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. Between Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, no prophets came. No prophets came between Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This was a period which is known as Fatra, which means that no revelation came from Allah Ta'ala. There was no revelation. That's why the people who believed in Isa alayhi salam, they were on the correct religion all the way till Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam came. And then they have to now follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So whichever people believed Isa alayhi salam, and then they believed Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam when he came, they were correctly guided. And the people who believed Isa alayhi salam, but then when Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam came, they said, no, we don't want to believe in him, then those people were on the wrong path. Because when Allah Ta'ala sends one prophet, we have to believe in them. And then when he sends another prophet after that, we have to also believe in that prophet. We can't reject that prophet. That's why you have a community of people who follow the religion of Judaism, who say we believe in every prophet from Adam alayhi salam all the way till the prophet Musa alayhi salam. And then we believe in some of the prophets after Musa alayhi salam, but we don't believe in Prophet Isa alayhi salam. They say that we don't believe in Prophet Isa alayhi salam. Because the Jewish community, the people that follow the religion of Judaism, they believe that there will be two messiahs who will come, two messiahs, two messiahs. One is the truthful messiah, the savior who will save their community. And the second one is going to be the Masihud Dalala, the misguided messiah. He will also be called Masih, but he will lead them astray. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Prophet Isa alayhi salam, who was a prophet of Allah, many of them, out of their jealousy, the community at the time, the people at the time, started to say that this is Masihud Dalala. This person is the wrong Messiah. He is the one who is going to lead us astray. And that's why they say we're still waiting for our correct Masih to come, the one who will save us, our savior. And they say he will come in the end of times. And that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, when Al-Masihud Dajjal will come, when Dajjal, the liar, when he will come and he will mislead people, a lot of people from the Jewish community who follow Judaism will follow him. And they will say, this is the Messiah that we've been waiting for. So they, when Allah sent the correct Messiah, which was the Prophet Isa alayhi salam, they rejected him and they call him the false Messiah. And when Allah sends the Masihud Dalala, the Messiah who will misguide them, they will take him as their correct Messiah. So they have it all, you know, they have it all mixed up. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Prophet Isa alayhi salam. And we'll just mention a bit of detail about the Prophet Isa alayhi salam. Remember, out of all of the religions, and this is something that Muslims need to be very proud of and very happy with, that out of all the religions that exist, only two religions actually believe in the Prophet Isa alayhi salam: Christianity and Islam. There are only two religions that believe in Isa alayhi salam as a prophet. No other religion accepts Isa alayhi salam as a prophet. Judaism does not accept Isa alayhi salam as a prophet, and the remaining religions, of course, they don't accept Isa alayhi salam as a prophet. Christianity accepts that Prophet Isa alayhi salam, but unfortunately in Christianity, the belief about Isa alayhi salam has become very dangerous now. If someone says, I have the same belief as the Christians, then that will take them out of the fold of Islam. Because the Christians have taken the Prophet Isa alayhi salam from the status of a human being, and they've elevated him to the status of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why in Christianity, they have something which is known as the Trinity. Have you heard of this? The Trinity? The Trinity is something which is a necessary part of Christianity. Orthodox Christianity, well, nowadays what they call Orthodox Christianity. The Trinity is a very important part of it. Basically, if you say that you're a Christian, you have to believe in the Trinity. What does the Trinity mean? The Trinity means that there are three bodies or three entities. All three of them are God. However, all three of them are not the same. And you know, this is very important. This book I was reading is called Isa alayhi salam, Man, Messenger, Messiah. Very good book. And he explains how, unfortunately, many times when other people mention about the Trinity, they misrepresent it. The Trinity, the belief of Taslith, believing that there are three gods, like Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran, you know, the belief of the Christians that they say, إِنَّ اللَّهَ ثَالِثُ ثَلَاثَ, Allah Ta'ala is the third of the three. And subhanAllah, it's amazing how Allah Ta'ala really pinpoints their exact belief. This is exactly what they believe. They believe that you have this Trinity. And in the Trinity, there are three entities. The Father and the Son and what they call the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. The Christians, they believe this. And if someone says they're a Christian, then they have to believe this. This is some of their beliefs. And the Father is not the same as the Son. The Son is not the same as the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. They are all separate entities, but they are all God. So they are all God, but they are not all the same. So that's the objection that the Muslims always have against the Christians. That how can three be one, but not one at the same time? Like, it's very confusing. And that's why the Christian great priests will say that the Trinity is a secret that cannot be understood by anyone. There's a secret that cannot be understood. And it's easy to satisfy some people by saying this, that you don't understand it, it's fine. The author of this book is a very interesting book, Abu Zakaria. His father was a Muslim. His father was born a Muslim, and his mother, she reverted to Islam. And he mentions that, I've met many Christians in my life, and I've had many discussions with them. And most of the time, the practicing Christians, when I explain to them what Islam says about Christianity and the Trinity, they come to the conclusion that it makes sense to them. What I'm saying makes sense to them. However, he mentions here, he says that once he was having a discussion with a particular lady about this, about the Trinity and about the crucifixion, how Isa alayhi salam was not crucified. And he said that the lady confessed to me that even though she doubted the crucifixion, she would go to her grave holding onto the belief no matter what. She explained that she was unable to abandon the belief that Jesus died for her sins because that's how she was raised, and she didn't want to upset her family. Some people, even though they realize that this is the truth, what happens is, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not written guidance for someone, it's a person cannot be guided. Anyway, so let's mention about Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. So Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wa salam, his mother was Sayyidina Maryam. So in Christianity, they call her the Lady Mary. And we as Muslims believe that the Sayyidatuna Maryam alayhi salam was a very important personality. She was a very important personality. Some people have discussed whether she was a prophet or not. And it's a beautiful discussion. They mention, is it possible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send women as prophets, as nabis? Some of the great scholars, Imam Qurtubi, Imam al-Hasan al-Ash'ari, and many other scholars held the opinion that a woman could be a Nabi of Allah. She couldn't be a Rasul, but could be a Nabi. Because a Nabi is someone who receives revelation, wahi. And we see in the Quran many times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the angel Jibreel alayhi salam came to Sayyidatuna Maryam. And that's why many scholars say alayhi salam. So it was a valid opinion. So we don't need to go into which one's the correct opinion or not, but some have mentioned that females can be Nabis, but not Rasuls. There's something in the Aqidah lesson I didn't mention. The females can be Nabis, but not Rasuls. Rasul only men can be, but females can be Nabis. So Sayyidatuna Maryam alayhi salam was the mother of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. And Sayyidina Maryam, her mother's name was Hanna, and her father's name was Imran. And Hanna and Imran, they were two very pious people who lived amongst the Banu Israel, amongst the community at the time of Muslims. And mashallah, they were from the family of prophets, from the family of Dawood alayhi salam, from the family of Sulaiman alayhi salam. So they were, you know, from a very good family, they were very pious people. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan was that Sayyidatuna Hanna had not been blessed with a child. So because Sayyidatuna Hanna had not been blessed with a child, she was very desirous of a child. She really wanted a child. So she made a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She said, "Oh Allah, if you bless me with a child, then I will give this child into your service. I will give this child into your service." Allah Ta'ala mentions this in the Quran. وَإِذْ قَالَتِ امْرَأَةُ عِمْرَانَ رَبِّ إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لَكَ مَا فِي بَطْنِي مُحَرَّرًا فَتَقَبَّلْ مِنِّي إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. That, "Oh Allah, I make a pact, I make a promise that this child, if you bless me with a child, I will give this child into your service. فَتَقَبَّلْ مِنِّي. So, oh Allah, accept this child from me. Accept this from me." And then, however, when Sayyidatuna Hanna was expecting that this child would be a boy, because she thought that she would give this child into the service of Masjid al-Aqsa. Masjid al-Aqsa is in Jerusalem, one of the third holiest site in Islam, and it's a place where many prophets used to live in, used to reside in. The caretakers of Masjid al-Aqsa, many of them were prophets. One of the caretakers of Masjid al-Aqsa was the Prophet Zakariya alayhi salam. the uncle of Sayyidatuna Maryam. So Maryam's mother, Maryam alayhi salam's mother, Hannah, she made the intention that if Allah blesses me with a son, I will give him into the service of Masjid al-Aqsa. And he will look after Masjid al-Aqsa, he will serve Masjid al-Aqsa, and he will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, Allah ta'ala blessed him with blessed her with a daughter. So Allah ta'ala mentions in the Quran that فَلَمَّا وَضَعَتْهَا قَالَتْ رَبِّ إِنِّي وَضَعْتُهَا أُنْثَى. That when Sayyidatuna Hannah gave birth to a daughter, she said, "Oh Allah, you've given me a daughter. That it's a daughter that I've been blessed with." She was shocked, she was surprised, because she thought it was going to be a boy, because she'd already made a pact, a promise that she's going to give this child in the service of Masjid al-Aqsa. So she said, "Oh Allah, you blessed me with a daughter." And then Allah Ta'ala says, "Wallahu a'lamu bima wada'at." Allah Ta'ala knew very well what she had been blessed with. Allah knew that it was a daughter, but Allah had great plans for that daughter. So Allah Ta'ala mentions, Sayyidatuna Hannah, she said, "Walaysa dhakaru kal untha." A boy is not like a girl. The boy, I could have given him over to Masjid al-Aqsa, he could have served Masjid al-Aqsa, and I would have no worries about him. It's a girl, you have to be more protective, you have to, you know, look after them, and you have to, you know, safeguard them. It's more difficult to kind of give her into the service of Masjid al-Aqsa. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "I know very well, but this girl, I've accepted her." And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Hannah said, وَإِنِّي سَمَّيْتُهَا مَرْيَمْ. I have named my daughter Maryam. Maryam is a very beautiful name. Maryam is from the original Syrianic language. Maryam translates as khadim, a servant, someone who serves. Because the mother of Maryam, Hannah, had made the intention that my daughter is going to serve Masjid al-Aqsa. So she said, "I've called her Maryam." So Allah Ta'ala mentioned this in the Quran, that Hannah's naming her daughter Maryam. Every single thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, we don't take anything lightly. Everything in the Quran is there for a reason. So one thing we realize here, that the name Maryam is a very special name, very beautiful name. And we should name our daughters with these beautiful names. Not names, nowadays we hear all kinds of names, subhanAllah. Like we teach, mashallah, we teach children, we see all kinds of unique names. Everybody wants a unique name. And it has to sound like, you know, nobody else should have that name. Regardless of what that name means. Regardless of that, even family members sometimes name certain names. And I ask them, "Where did you get that name from?" Like someone named, what to mention, their daughter's name something. And I said, "Where did you get that from?" They said, "It was a daughter of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu." So where did you get it from? So they googled it. I think they already planned to name their daughter that name, and then they googled it, and then it came across that he's a daughter of Ali radiallahu anhu. I've never heard of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu having such a daughter. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu was married to Fatima radiallahu anha, and then he got married later on. And when he was married later on to Sayyidina Asma bint Umays and to others, he had a daughter known as Ummu Kulthum. The hadith mentions he had a daughter known as Ummu Kulthum, who was not from Fatima radiallahu anha. But he didn't have a daughter with this name. So people just want to name unique names. The names that are mentioned in the Quran are beautiful names. Maryam, Fatima. How many women in history, great women, have been called Fatima? And the reason why their parents named them Fatima is because of Fatima, the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that four women are the greatest women to have ever existed. Four women are the greatest women to have ever existed. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that many men attained perfection in the past. However, only four women attained perfection. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned they are Asiya bint Muzahim. Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun radiallahu ta'ala anha, she attained perfection. She's one of the best women to have ever walked upon the earth. Maryam bint Imran. Maryam, the daughter of Imran. This lady Maryam alayha salam. And Khadija bint Khuwaylid. Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Fatima bint Muhammad. Fatima, the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They are the greatest four women to ever exist. So we should name our daughters after them. Similarly, when it comes to naming our sons, naming them with good names. There is no issue with naming a child something like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because many, mashallah, we see in throughout history, many great scholars named their children Muhammad. Imam Al-Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi, it's mentioned that about 15 generations of his, every single person's name was Muhammad. I heard this from Hazrat Yusuf Mutala sahab rahmatullahi alayhi, once mentioned in one of his talks. 15 generations, they were called Muhammad, the son of Muhammad, the son of Muhammad, the son of Muhammad, because they felt that this was a privilege and honor to name my son after the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, some people have a lot of respect for this name as well, which is beautiful. One of our family members, they named their son's name Muhammad, and the grandmother of the family, she never calls him by the name. She said, why did you name him Muhammad? I find it very hard to just call someone Muhammad, because every time she says Muhammad, she thinks of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So she calls him by something, she's made up her own kind of name for him. That's just out of her love and respect. So anyway, so Sayyidatuna Hanna, she named her daughter Maryam. And then Sayyidatuna Hanna, she said, وَإِنِّي أُعِيذُهَا بِكَ وَذُرِّيَّتَهَا مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. Oh Allah, I am entrusting Maryam, I am handing Maryam over into your protection. That, oh Allah, you protect her. وَذُرِّيَّتَهَا, and you protect her progeny and her offspring, مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ, from shaitan the accursed. So Hanna, radiallahu anha, she made a dua that, oh Allah, protect Maryam and her children from shaitan, from the effects of shaitan. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that every single child that is born, shaitan pricks him and shaitan affects him. And that's why فَيَسْتَهِلُّ صَارِخًا, the child starts to shriek and scream. You know, as soon as a child is born, it cries. Except for Maryam, the daughter of Hanna. And the reason for this was because of this dua that Sayyidatuna Hanna made. Shaitan could not affect this daughter, this baby Maryam alayhi salam. وَذُلِّيَّتَهَا مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ فَتَقَبَّلَهَا رَبُّهَا بِقَبُولٍ حَسَنٍ وَأَنْبَتَهَا نَبَاتًا حَسَنًا وَكَفَّلَهَا زَكَرِيَّا. And then Allah Ta'ala says, we accepted this from her. That Hannah made this very pious intention that, oh Allah, I want my daughter to be raised in a spiritual environment of Masjid al-Aqsa. I've handed her over to you. Allah Ta'ala accepted it. And this lady Maryam was a very pious girl from childhood, and she grew up to be a very, very pious lady. And وَكَفَّلَهَا زَكَرِيَّا, because she was staying inside of Masjid al-Aqsa, there had to be someone who was watching over her, who was looking out for her, who was guarding her. And that person, every single scholar or every single pious man who was inside of Masjid al-Aqsa wanted to have the honor of looking after Maryam. And that's why Allah Ta'ala mentions in another part of the Quran that they all, drew lots as to who should have the honor and the privilege of looking after Sayyidina Maryam. And Sayyidina Zakariya alayhi salam's name came out. Three times they drew lots, and all three of those times Sayyidina Zakariya alayhi salam, his name came out. So Sayyidina Zakariya alayhi salam, he was the uncle of Maryam, and he looked after her, and he would always watch over her. And on one occasion, what happened when Sayyidina Zakariya alayhi salam, he entered into the room where Sayyidatuna Maryam was staying, and he saw that Sayyidatuna Maryam was eating fruits which were out of season. Imagine it's not the season for, I don't know what kind of fruit, mangoes. It's not the season for mangoes. And you go and you see someone eating mangoes. You say, where are you getting mangoes from? Mangoes are not growing anywhere, because it's not the season for them. So Sayyidina Maryam, she was eating fruits which were out of season. So Sayyidina Zakariya asked her, where did you get these fruits from? So she said, قَالَتْ هِيَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ, that these fruits are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْزُقُ مِنْ يَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ, that Allah Ta'ala can give anyone anything he wants without any hisab, without any accountability. And then هُنَالِكَ دَعَى زَكَرِيَّ رَبَّهُ. At that moment in time, Sayyidina Zakariya alayhi salam did dua to Allah. Oh Allah, if you can give Maryam fruits which are out of season, you can give me a child. Even though I'm very old and my wife is very old and we're not expecting to have children anymore, you can still bless me with a child. And Allah Ta'ala blessed them with a child. Such an amazing, pious child, a prophet of Allah, Sayyidina Yahya alayhi salam. And Sayyidina Yahya alayhi salam was a great Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala mentions about his qualities, that he was a very pious servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was never married. And unfortunately, the people at the time, they assassinated and they killed Sayyidina Yahya alayhi salam. And before Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam could even grow and become a prophet of Allah, Sayyidina Yahya alayhi salam was assassinated and he was murdered by the people of the time. They killed many prophets. And that's what Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, that they are responsible for killing many prophets. They wanted to kill Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, but they were not successful. They wanted to assassinate him, but they were not successful. We'll get to that. So Allah Ta'ala mentions, وَإِذْ قَالَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ يَا مَرْيَمُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَاكِ وَطَحَّرَكِ وَاصْطَفَاكِ عَلَى نِسَاءِ الْعَالَمِينَ. Ya Maryam qunuti li rabbiki wasjudi warka'i ma'ar raki'in. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to continuously send angels to communicate with Maryam alayhi salam. Continuously. She would always engage with angels, interact with angels, communicate with angels. And that's why some scholars have said we can call her a Nabi, someone who was communicating with the angels. In that sense, Allah Ta'ala said, O Maryam, we've chosen you, we've purified you, and we have chosen you above all of the women of humanity. And that Allah Ta'ala said, O Maryam, uqnuti li rabbiki, worship your Lord and perform sajda in front of Allah and perform ruku in front of Allah. Meaning become, show, express your piety and express your gratitude in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Sayyidatuna Maryam, to cut a long story short, as Sayyidatuna Maryam alayhi salam, she grew older, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's divine plan was to bless her with a child. So what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent an angel to her. And the angel said to her, O Maryam, Ya Maryamu, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُبَشِّرُكِ بِكَلِمَةٍ مِّنْ إِسْمُهُ الْمَسِيحُ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمُ وَجِيهًا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَمِنَ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ وَيُكَلِّمُ النَّاسَ فِي الْمَهْدِ وَكَهْلًا وَمِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. So the angel said, O Maryam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a plan for you. And the plan is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to bless you with a child. His name will be Masih Isa, the son of Maryam. And he will be very fearful of Allah, very pious inside of the dunya. And in the akhirah, in the hereafter, he will be from the close people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from his miracles will be that he will speak to people when he's still a baby in the cradle. He will have the ability to speak. When a child is newborn inside of the cradle, the child does not have the ability to communicate. You know, it babbles, it makes some sounds, it cries. No, actually, it doesn't make any babbling sounds until it grows a bit older. But it cries. But Allah Ta'ala said the miracle of this baby is that it's going to be able to speak when it's still in its cradle. And then Sayyidatuna Maryam said, O Allah, anna yakunu li waladun wa lam yamsasni bashar. How can I have a child whereas no human being has ever touched me? Meaning I'm not married, how is it possible for me to have a child? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the angel said, قَالَ كَذَلِكِ اللَّهُ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ إِذَا قَضَى أَمْرًا فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. That this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He is so powerful that He creates whatever He wants. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to create a child in this situation where you've never been married, but Allah wants to create a child from you, He can do that. That's why some people, they criticize this. And they said, how is it possible that Maryam, especially the people of the time, many people who were jealous of Maryam, they were jealous of the family, they were jealous of Isa alayhi salam and his miracles. They used to say, how is it possible for a child to be born without a father? So Allah Ta'ala answers this in the Quran. Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ مَثَلَ عِيسَى عِنْدَ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلِ Adam. The example of Isa alayhi salam is the same example as Adam alayhi salam. Allah created Adam alayhi salam without a father and without a mother. Allah created Isa alayhi salam without a father. And that's why one of the answers we give to people who say Isa alayhi salam has to be greater than a human being. He can't just be a normal human being because he didn't even have a father. Every human being has a father. Well, if that's the rule we're going to go by, if that's a litmus test, then Adam alayhi salam has greater priority or has greater... Adam alayhi salam has a greater right to be a god because he didn't even have a father or a mother. Isa alayhi salam at least had a mother. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed Sayyidatuna Maryam with this child whose name was Isa alayhi salam. Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran, وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ مَرْيَمْ إِذْ انْتَبَذَتْ مِنْ أَهْلِهَا مَكَانٍ شَرْقِيًّا. When Sayyidatuna Maryam alayhi salam was expecting a child, then obviously because she used to stay in a room by herself, inside of Masjid al-Aqsa, nobody would see her, nobody would communicate with her because she was a lady. Only Sayyidina Zakariya alayhi salam would go into that room. Sayyidina Zakariya alayhi salam would interact with her when he had to. And Sayyidina Zakariya alayhi salam's wife would also go in that room, and she would sometimes go to the house of Sayyidina Zakariya alayhi salam. So people didn't see her, so people didn't realize that she was expecting a child because nobody would actually get to see her. And this shows her modesty that she didn't go out, and nobody was aware of her situation. Yet what happened was, when it came close to the time that she had to deliver a child, Allah Ta'ala says, إِذْ انْتَبَذَتْ مِنْ أَهْلِهَا مَكَانٍ شَرْقِيًّا. She went far away from the people, to an undisclosed place, a place where there was nobody there. And فَاتَّخَذَتْ مِنْ دُونِهِمْ حِجَابًا. And then she adopted a hijab and a veil between the people, that people didn't see her. And then Allah Ta'ala says, فَأَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهَا رُوحَنَا فَتَمَثَّلَ لَهَا بَشَرًا سَوِيًّا. This is about when Allah Ta'ala blessed her with a child. And then when she gave birth, Allah Ta'ala mentions, فَحَمَلَتْهُ فَانْتَبَذَتْ بِهِ مَكَانًا قَصِيًّا. That when she gave birth to the child, she went very far away from the sight of the people, so that nobody could say anything. Because she knew, Allah Ta'ala is going to bless me with a child. When the child is born, then it's up to Allah what's going to happen. But during childbirth, it's a very difficult time, critical time. If people come then and start saying things and doing things and, you know, accusing me of things, I'm not in a situation where I can defend myself or say anything. So that's why she went far away from the people. فأجاءها المخاض إلى جذع النخلة قالت يا ليتني مت قبل هذا وكنت نسيا منسيا. So Allah Ta'ala mentions that the pangs of labor, they affected her, and they made her go towards جذع النخلة, towards the branches of a tree. And she held on to the branches of a tree and she said, Ya laytani mittu qabla hadha. I wish I had passed away before today. I wish I had died before today, because the pain was so severe and so terrible. Wa kuntu nasiya mansiya, and I had been forgotten by the people. And then Allah Ta'ala made an announcement, or the angels made an announcement on behalf of Allah Ta'ala, that la tahzani. O Maryam, don't worry. Allah will look after you. Allah will make it easy for you. قَدْ جَعَلَ رَبُّكِ تَحْتَكِ سَرِيَّا وَهُزِّي إِلَيْكِ بِجِذْعِ النَّخْلَةِ تُسَاقِطْ عَلَيْكِ رُطَبًا جَنِيًا. Allah Ta'ala has created, some have translated sariya as a stream underneath you, that you can drink water from the stream and shake the branches of these trees, and you know, ripe dates will come down in front of you. You can have those ripe dates. So Allah Ta'ala provided for her. There were no human beings around her. Normally when a lady gives birth, there is a support system in place. There are people watching out and people making sure that she's okay. If she needs water, they give her water. If she needs any kind of help, they're there to help. But Sayyidatina Maryam gave birth without anybody being there. Through Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala's assistance and help, she gave birth in that situation. And then she gave birth to the child. And then Allah Ta'ala said, if you see anyone who comes, and if any person comes and starts asking you any questions, then say, Inni nadartu lirrahmani sawman, that I am fasting. In those days, when a person used to fast, then fasting entailed that a person would also have to remain quiet and silent. Part of the fast was to stay silent and quiet. So, inshallah, we'll try and finish in the next 10 minutes. I'm going to cut a long story short. That part of the fast was to remain silent and quiet. So Allah Ta'ala said, if anyone comes to you and asks you any questions about your child, then say, I'm fasting. Or make an indication, I'm fasting, so I can't talk. And just point at the child. So people came and they saw Maryam, she'd given birth to a child. The child is there in the cradle, in the mahad. And then people started to say, oh Maryam, ya ukhta Harun, walaqad ji'ti shay'an fariya, you've done a very evil thing, oh Maryam. How do you have a child where you don't even have a husband? How do you have a child when you don't even have a husband? This is such an evil thing you've done. And they started to say, Ya ukhta Harun, sister of Harun, ma kana abuki imra'a saw'in wa ma kanat ummuki baghiya. Your father was such a good man, your mother was such a good pious lady. How is it that you've done such a bad action? So they were accusing her of things. And then Allah Ta'ala told Maryam, oh Maryam, you indicate to the child. Maryam indicated to the child, فَأَشَارَتْ إِلَيْهِ قَالُوا كَيْفَ نُكَلِّمُ مَنْ كَانَ فِي الْمَهْدِ صَبِيًّا. The people said, how can we speak to a child who's still in the cradle? Children in the cradle can't speak. But the child started to speak. And he said, إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ, I am the servant of Allah. أَتَانِيَ الْكِتَابَ وَجَعَلَنِي نَبِيًّا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to bless me with a kitab, a holy book. The Injil, or is known as the Bible. Allah Ta'ala is going to send this to me. Allah is going to make me a prophet. وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُ. Allah is going to make me blessed wherever I am. وَأَوْصَانِي بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ مَا دُمْتُ حَيَّا. Allah has commanded me to pray, to perform salah to him, and to give charity as long as I am alive. وَبَرًّا بِوَالِدَتِي, and to be good to my mother. وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْنِي جَبَّارًا شَقِيًّا. Allah Ta'ala has not made me tyrannical. Allah Ta'ala has not made me hard-hearted. والسلام علي أو wretched. والسلام علي يوم ولدت ويوم أموت ويوم أبعث حيا. And Allah's mercy and peace be upon me, the day I was born, the day I die, and the day I am resurrected. And then what happened? So this child, but Sayyidina Maryam very soon realized that people are jealous. A lot of people, I'm going to cut a long story short, people were very jealous. People started to harm her. People started to say things to her. Even though she proved to them through this miracle, through this karama, that this child is, I've not done anything wrong, this is a blessing that Allah has given me. People started to say things. So Maryam realized that if I'm to raise this child, I need to take him away from the people. If I stay in this community, people are going to keep saying things. So Allah Ta'ala mentions, وَجَعَلْنَا بَنَ مَرْيَمَ أُمَّهُ وَأُمَّهُ آيَةً وَآوَيْنَاهُمَا إِلَىٰ رَبْوَةٍ ذَاتِ قَرَارٍ وَمَعِينَ. That we made Maryam, we made Isa alayhi salam and his mother a sign, meaning a clear sign of Allah Ta'ala's power and qudra, that these two people are miraculous beings. And we made them take shelter ila rabwatin dhati qararin wa ma'in. The ulama explained, towards a place which was firm and a hillock, and they describe it. They say this is referring to the place which was known as Baytul Laham, or in English known as Bethlehem. That Isa alayhi salam and his mother, they took refuge and shelter in Baytul Laham, and this is where Sayyidatuna Maryam raised her son, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. And she looked after him and she taught him the morals and the character. And Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam grew up to be such a pious, good child. Now one amazing point in the hadith of Shafa'a, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam mentions that on the day of Qiyamah, people will be, you know, confused. People will want the day of reckoning to start. So people will go everywhere here and there, and they will go to the prophets. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam mentions people will go to Adam alayhi salam, and they will say, "Oh Adam, you are the father of humanity. Please ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to start the day of reckoning." Adam alayhi salam will say, "Today I can't do anything because I made a mistake in the world, and I'm worried that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to take me to task for that mistake, which was eating from that tree that Allah forbade me to eat from, and because of which I had to leave Jannah." And then they will go to Nuh alayhi salam. Nuh alayhi salam will say, "I made a mistake as well, that when my people did not listen to the message of Islam, I did dua for Allah Ta'ala to bring a punishment. So I'm worried that what if Allah Ta'ala says to me, 'Oh Nuh, you were very hasty. You were very quick to ask for a punishment.' So I'm worried about myself today. Nafsi, nafsi, go to someone else." And each prophet will send people to another prophet, all the way to Sayyidina Ibrahim Khalilullah, Sayyidina Musa Kalimullah, all these great prophets. It mentions that they will remember some mistake that they made, and they will say, "What if Allah punishes me for that mistake?" The amazing point in that hadith is that when they come to Isa alayhi salam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam mentions that walam yadhkur dhanban. Isa alayhi salam was so pious and so pure and innocent that he will not remember a single mistake that he ever made in his life. He won't remember it, meaning he had nothing which you could ever say was even a mistake or an accident or a slip up. He won't even remember anything, but he will say, "This is not my position. It's not my job to ask Allah to start the reckoning. Go to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Because he's the Ash-Shafi'a, Al-Mushaffa'. He's the person who is supposed to intercede in front of Allah, and the one whose intercession will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was the piety of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. So Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam grew up like this, and he mentioned, and he came as a prophet to his people. So he called them towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the reason why Allah Ta'ala sent Isa alayhi salam was because the people before him were very far away from the teachings of Prophet Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam had brought the Torah to the people, but they started to leave the teachings of the Torah. You had some people who started to change the verses of the Torah. You had some people who used to say things like, "You know what? What Allah wants us to do is to kind of go into isolation, become like hermits, going to the mountains, into the caves, worship Allah alone. We don't need to get married, we don't need to have children." So there were people, there were different groups of people, different ahzab, different groups of people who had different beliefs. Allah Ta'ala sent Isa alayhi salam, "Go and complete the Torah." The Injil, the Bible, is a completion of the Torah. Go and complete the Torah. And similarly, anything which the people are not believing, anything which the people have changed of the Torah, the Injil is supposed to rectify that. That's why Isa alayhi salam came from the family of the Banu Israel. He came from that family, but people didn't like it. People were jealous of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, and they plotted to kill Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, he had a group of people who would be around him. They were known as the Hawariyun. They were known as the Hawariyun. Ulama have discussed, where does this word Hawari come from? Regardless, but they were very simple people, very poor people. That's why in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala mentions an incident where إِذْ قَالَ الْحَوَارِيُّونَ يَا عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمَ هَلْ يَسْتَطِيعُ رَبُّكَ أَنْ يُنَزِّلَ عَلَيْنَا مَائِدَةً مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. Because they were very poor people, very simple people. They said, "Oh Isa, the son of Maryam, please ask Allah Ta'ala to bring a dastarkhan down from the sky. Bring a big banquet of food." Ulama said the reason why they said this is because they were poor people. They were very simple people. Many days they didn't have food to eat. So when they asked for a miracle, they said, "Oh Isa Islam, please tell Allah to send some food down." And the narration mentioned, did Allah Ta'ala send food or not? That's an issue of discussion. Some scholars have said Allah Ta'ala didn't send that because they couldn't fulfill the conditions of that. Some have mentioned Allah Ta'ala did send that, and food lasted for 40 days and the people ate for 40 days. Anyway, so they had this group of disciples known as Hawariyun. And Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, on one occasion, was with his Hawariyun in a certain place when the people of the time, they plotted to assassinate him. And they came, and Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam was informed by Allah Ta'ala that they're going to assassinate you. So Isa alayhi salam sat down with his Hawariyun, and he said, "The people have made an agenda that they're going to assassinate me. Who is there from amongst you that is ready to take my place?" So there's a few opinions. One of them is that he mentioned that, "Who is there who is going to take my place?" So one of the Hawariyun, one of the disciples of Isa alayhi salam, and this is one of the big contrasts between the Bible and the Quran. In the Quran, the Hawariyun, Allah Ta'ala mentions about them that Isa alayhi salam said, who is going to be the Ansarullah? Who is going to help Allah Ta'ala's deen? And the disciples of Isa alayhi salam said, Nahnu Ansarullah, Amanna billah, washhad bi anna muslimun. We are the helpers of Allah's deen. We believe in Allah and we testify that we are Muslims. So these Hawariyun, then they helped Isa alayhi salam. Allah Ta'ala mentions praise of them in the Quran. But in the Bible, if you see, it's mentioned that these Hawariyun, at this moment in time when Isa alayhi salam was most in need, and this is the narrative that is taught in schools and from in the Gospel of Matthew, this is mentioned, that the disciples of Jesus, they deserted Jesus at this time. That they didn't support him. To the extent that when Isa alayhi salam, or the Prophet Jesus as they say, when he was captured by the enemy and he was about to be crucified, he said the phrase that they use in Aramaic, Eli, Eli, lema sabaqtani, that, oh my God, why have you deserted me? That why have you left me alone? And they prove from this that nobody supported Isa alayhi salam. All of his supporters, in the Bible many times it shows that they were, na'udhu billah, they displayed cowardice. They didn't want to put themselves in any kind of trouble or hardship. And Isa alayhi salam said, who is going to take my position? And they all remained quiet. And Isa alayhi salam said, why are you people doing this to me now? So he shows, you know, this buzdili, this cowardice from the disciples of Isa alayhi salam. Whereas in the Quran is a beautiful image that they were actually, they gave their lives for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen, for the sake of Isa alayhi salam. To the extent that Isa alayhi salam said, look, Allah has made a decision that Allah ta'ala is going to protect me from them. Who is there who is ready to take my place? All of the Hawariyun were ready. But it was one of them who it was destined for, that his face changed into the face of the appearance of Isa alayhi salam. So when the angels came, when the soldiers came into the house to capture Isa alayhi salam, they saw this person and they took him, and whatever happened actually happened to him and not to Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. Rather, Allah Ta'ala mentions about Isa alayhi salam that barrafa'ahu Allahu ilayhi. Allah Ta'ala elevated Isa alayhi salam. Isa alayhi salam is still alive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevated him up. Allah ta'ala lifted him up into the mala'ul a'la, into the highest heaven, and he will be there. And towards the day of Qiyamah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that yanzilu Isa ibn Maryam. Isa the son of Maryam alayhi salam will come down towards the day of Qiyamah. And وَيَقْتُلُ الْخِنْزِيرُ وَيَكْسِرُ الصَّلِيبُ, that he will kill the pigs and he will break the crosses. The scholars have mentioned this shows that he will, you know, defeat this narrative known as Christianity. Christianity, you know, pigs is permissible to eat, consume. Similarly, they have all the crosses. Crosses are a very important thing to them because of the so-called crucifixion. So when Isa alayhi salam comes and the people see him, they will all believe in him. And that's why Allah Ta'ala mentions that لا يؤمن النبي قبل موته وإن منهم لا يؤمن النبي قبل موته. Every single person who is a Christian towards the day of Qiyamah. Go on, Hufaz. وَإِمْ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ جَزَاكَ اللَّهُ وَإِمْ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا لَيُؤْمِنَ النَّبِهِ قَبْلَ مَوْتِهِ. That all of the Christians who live towards the day of Qiyamah, when Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam comes, they will see Isa alayhi salam and they will realize that they made a mistake in the narrative, and they will all believe in Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. There's a lot more to mention, and I can see it's a very hot masjid, and these kind of things when you mention in order it becomes quite long. One point I want to mention which is very important is about the Christian belief of the Trinity. You know, in Christianity, the Trinity is a very important belief. You have to believe in it. If you don't believe in the Trinity, you're not a Christian. That's just the khulasa, that you're not a Christian. You're following something else, but you're not following Christianity. And any Christian priest or bishop or whoever you speak to, they mention about Trinity. And they say, you know, the scholars, they decided that the Trinity is a very important part of Christianity and you have to believe in it. But if a person really looks throughout history, they see that, because first of all, the Bible itself, the Injil, does not talk about the Trinity. Just a few points, maybe we can keep in our heads. The Injil, the Bible, does not talk about the Trinity. Even the Injil that they have does not talk about the Trinity. They use a few phrases from the Bible to try and justify the Trinity. But any person with some kind of understanding will read those verses and realize, you know what? You can't establish Trinity from this. Some of those verses are such that the maximum that you can extract from those verses is, believing in two deities, not three. There are some verses as such that it gives the impression that there are two deities who are the same, the Father and the Son, or the Father and the Holy Spirit. But the Son is lower than them. But according to the Christians, you cannot say that the Son is lower than the Father. Son, Father, Son, Holy Spirit are all exactly the same in terms of their level. They're not the same being. The Father is not the Son. Son is not the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is not the Father. But they are all God. They are all God. Right? But if we see in early Christianity, they didn't have this belief. A lot of people didn't have this belief, to the extent that many bishops, many priests didn't even have this belief. This is a bit technical. They didn't have this belief. So that's why there were many confused, mixed messages that were being spread. So there was a Roman emperor. In the early days, the Christians were persecuted until the Roman emperor, Constantine, embraced Christianity. When he embraced Christianity, he wasn't really a very devout, pious Christian. But he realized that there's a lot of infighting amongst the Christians. Over what? Believing in Trinity or not believing in Trinity. And even belief in Trinity and not belief in Trinity, there were so many sections, so many sects and factions. So he said, you know what, I've had enough. You're all going to get together, you're all going to sit down, and you're going to decide on something, and that's it. Because he was the emperor, he was the Roman emperor, he had a lot of power and influence. So they had this council, which was known as the Council of Nicaea, in the year 325. Anno Domini, they conducted this Council of Nicaea, where all of the leading bishops throughout the world sat down. But in those times, there were two differing opinions. One was the opinion of believing that Isa alayhi salam was not Allah, but they would say that he's a son of God. And one was, and he was much lower than God, and he was a human being, but he was not divine. And one was that he was divine, and he was the same as God. And then you had these other opinions where he was divine, but he was not the same as God, this and that. But they still believed in some kind of Trinity, but the Father is higher than the Son, not the same as the Son. So Constantine said, I've had enough now. You're all going to sit together, and you're all going to decide on something. So they sat together, lots of bishops, and they said, you know what, we're going to believe. And they were talking and talking for ages and ages and ages and ages, and they couldn't come to a decision. Constantine said, I'm going to decide for you. The Emperor Constantine said, I'm going to decide for you. And that's why the Christian scholars say that this belief in the Trinity was not a belief like the way that the Christians put out, that in the Council of Nicaea, we had this kind of ilmi majlis, a scholarly gathering, and the scholars came to the conclusion that yes, this is the right view forward. Rather, there was the ijbar from the king. The emperor said, this is what you're going to do, because most of you are supporting Trinity, some of you are not, so you're all going to support the Trinity, like it or don't like it. Anyone who doesn't support the Trinity is going to be ostracized, or is going to be expelled from the land. It's going to be outcasted. That's why there were a few bishops. Most bishops, as soon as Constantine said this, they accepted. They said, that's fine, we're going to accept. But some bishops said, we don't care. We'd rather die for our beliefs. We don't mind if we're outcasted. And they were outcasted for this. So the beliefs of the Trinity, this is the first time where it was established as a Christian belief, was in the year 325 after Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. Till that time, from the early writings of the church fathers, we see that no one talked about the Trinity, or very few did, and even then it was not the Trinity that the Christians believe in today, that God, Son, Holy Spirit, or Father, Son, Holy Spirit are the same. Rather, there was a difference. But modern day Christianity, which they call Orthodox Christianity, modern day Orthodox Christianity, if you said, I believe Father and Son, but I believe the Son is not the same as the Father, they will say, sorry, you're out of the fold of Christianity. So when did this become Orthodox Christianity? You know, there's a lot of... So when a person really researches into it, looks into it, they see this very, very great flaws and, you know, gaping holes that even Christian scholars have attested to. They've mentioned that we know these things are there, but we just have to kind of ignore these kind of things. So it's very important that we educate ourselves about Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. His mother Sayyidatuna Maryam, obviously I know the conversation is going a bit back and forth. There are so many things to say, young people, elderly people, in between people. So it's very important that we study, we learn. This book is a very good book. If a person is interested in a scholarly understanding of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam and a very nuanced, unbiased discussion about Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, we can get this book, Jesus, Man, Messenger, Messiah by Abu Zakaria. I haven't read the entire book. From what I've read, it's very good. He's not saying, oh, I'm a Muslim, so I'm going to say this, or I'm against Christianity, so I'm going to say that. And from a very nuanced perspective. And anyone who wants to be enlightened, and I feel that when a person studies Christianity, they understand, and the belief about Isa alayhi salam, it only enhances our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our conviction that Islam is the correct religion. Because it's like Christianity was there and there were many gaping holes, Islam came along and just filled in the gaps. And Islam presented this beautiful deen. It's just the completion of the religions of the past. It's just perfected all of the religions. So a person with insight would look and say, you know what, all of the religions who believe in one God and believe in the Prophet Musa, the Prophet Isa, or anyone before him, this religion is there to kind of complete all of those religions. So inshallah, we all should study, we all should learn about Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. Where's our brother Shazan? Let's ask anyone here. So inshallah, I think there'll be some food which will be served upstairs for the sisters as well. So inshallah, we'll come to a close here. Anyone have any questions about Isa alayhi salam? Got any questions in anyone's mind? I'm not saying I can answer all of them, but inshallah. Do you any questions? Anything that comes to your mind about Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam? And Islam? Or any other questions about Islam? Anyone have any questions about Islam? Okay, inshallah, we'll stop there. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Inshallah, everyone have, you can sit on the sarkhan, there'll be some food served. Please partake of the food, and then inshallah you can go. Jazakallah khairan for attending. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.